Today is Pentecost Sunday, as you will already have heard. Today we remember the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. After his death and resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days speaking to the disciples about the kingdom of God. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit and said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We here today are a fruit of that work and of the outpouring of that Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus was in heaven, and the disciples had been waiting in Jerusalem for about 10 days. They'd been there since, after Jesus' ascension. The Holy Spirit came, and the disciples were filled that day with the Holy Spirit. The story is familiar, but what happened after Pentecost? What about us? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit change our lives today? This morning, we'll be looking for some of those answers in Romans 8. Romans 8 is quite a technical passage. It's quite difficult to understand. I don't know if any of you have ever worked on cars in the past. Do you ever remember the famous Haynes manuals? Some people will look at the book of Romans and think it's a bit like the Haynes manual of Christianity. It's quite technical in places, it can be difficult to understand, and even academics can struggle with some of its sections. But today I'll do my best to help explain Romans 8 to you, and so that we can understand more about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives today. First, Romans 8 mentions several laws. The three that we need to know about are God's law, the law of sin and death, and the law of the Spirit. We know that the Bible is good and that God is good, so why does Paul talk about the law of sin and death? If we are not careful, we can make a mistake and confuse God's law with the law of sin and death. So to understand this, we need to examine chapter 7 briefly. The first five books of the Bible are called the law. In chapter 7, Paul tells us that God's law is not sinful and it is intended to bring us life. God's law is holy and righteous and good and spiritual. Some of these descriptions might surprise you, but Paul was a Pharisee, which means he was an expert in God's law. Paul knew the Old Testament very well indeed. At the end of chapter 7, Paul talks about another law, the law of sin. We are told that the law of sin deceives us, and we do not understand what we are doing. In Genesis 3, when Eve has been caught, she says, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The law of God is opposed by the law of sin. Our mind becomes a battleground. We want to do good, but we keep on doing bad things. We become a slave to the law of sin, and we can find ourselves condemned to die. This is the law of sin and death that chapter 8 refers to. When we become a Christian, we receive power. We are filled with the Spirit, and this hopeless situation of constant failure is changed. The law of the Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death, so that we can live according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit is the third law. We change kingdoms and we change realms. In chapter 8, Paul is looking at the difference between two realms. The NIV uses the word realms, but it could be kingdoms or countries or nations. As you probably know, each country or realm has its own laws or government. And here in chapter 8, we have two realms with two sets of law. The powerful arguments about Brexit, it's because of the laws. There are European laws and there are British laws. A lot of people are not happy with the European laws and they want freedom from the European laws. You can see there's a tension between these laws. In the realm of the flesh, we have the law of sin and death. And in the realm of the Spirit, we have the law of the Spirit who gives life. Without Christ, we are slaves to the law of sin and death. Without Christ, we are unable to submit to God's law, and we find ourselves in fear of death, or fear of being caught out, or in fear of being judged. Without Christ, we find ourselves being ruled by selfishness and greed. Without Christ, we are prone to take things to the extreme, and instead of our mind being in control of what we do, we find ourselves being ruled by hatred, objects, food, money, status, anger, and the list goes on. Into this desperate state, Paul says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord." If we are in Christ, then the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of God lives in us, and we can be governed by the Spirit and live in accordance with the Spirit. If we are in Christ, then we are children of God, and we have life and peace with God. If we are in Christ, then we are no longer slaves controlled by our sinful nature, but we can be freed, and we can make choices and decisions. We are called to follow Jesus and to be like him. But we aren't Jesus. Back in chapter 7, Paul, who wrote several books of the New Testament, confesses his struggle with sin and his desire to be rid of his sinful body. We don't yet have our heavenly bodies. So just like Paul, we are somewhere between these two realms at present. We are waiting for our new bodies and sometimes struggle with sin and temptation. There are two key things to remember about sin. First, Paul tells us we have an obligation not to sin. Yes, we have been freed from the power of sin. We cannot use this as an excuse to do whatever we want. Paul says, if we live according to the flesh, we will die. We do not want to be a slave to sin again, so we must endeavor to live by the Spirit. The second and most important thing to remember is that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. We're saved. When we sin, we can be saved. We don't have to worry anymore. Jesus Christ was sent by God to us. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was born as a baby, and he grew up to become a child and then an adult. He lived in the flesh. He ate, he drank, he hugged, he cried, he mourned. He suffered and he died. He knows our struggles and our pains. He lived a perfect life and became a sin offering. He condemned sin in the flesh. The righteous requirements of the law were fully met in him, met by him, and he was raised by the Spirit. What we cannot do, what we could not do, Jesus did and more. Jesus saved us from sin and death. If we are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. It doesn't matter what we have said or done in the past. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven and no longer stand condemned. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are free from the law of sin and death, and we are no longer slaves to sin. This means that we are free to make choices. We might not make the right choice all the time. We might sometimes sin when tempted. As we grow in our faith, we become more like Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We aren't yet perfect yet, so we make mistakes. We need to remember that our life is a journey. Our faith is gradually growing, and we are becoming more and more like Jesus. He is with us at the start, he is with us all the way, and he is waiting at the end. If we are in Christ Jesus, then the Spirit of Christ lives in us, and the Spirit of God will raise us to new life at the end of our life. It is then that our current bodies will be changed, and we will receive our perfect heavenly bodies. If we are in Christ Jesus, then we are children of God, and we have an amazing inheritance waiting for us in heaven. But until then, we have the Spirit of God as a comforter or helper, helping us, empowering us, giving us the power we need and the ability to hear from what he is saying, we can be guided and led. When John the Baptist came, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The disciples were indeed baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, who had been afraid of the authorities, left the house and went into the streets to declare the wonders of God. Peter was so afraid at the crucifixion that he denied knowing Jesus. But on the day of Pentecost, he addressed a large crowd of people, and 3,000 of them became believers. The power of the Holy Spirit affected not just the disciples, but it also affected the crowd. Peter told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this simple statement from Peter, we have the message of salvation. He tells us what to do if we want to be saved. First, there is the need for repentance. We have a choice. Do we want to follow Jesus? Do we want to have Jesus as Lord of our lives? Do we want to submit to his authority and obey him? In the battle within our minds, which side do we want to win? Do we want to be ruled by our sinful nature, or do we want to live a life that pleases God? Which kingdom, which realm do we want to live in? If we want to live in the realm of the Spirit, if we want to live with the Holy Spirit in us, then we want Jesus to be Lord, and we are told to repent and be baptized. This is for all of us. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we remember his death and resurrection. The water which washes us clean reminds us that we are forgiven of our sins. We only do this once. Jesus didn't ask us to save ourselves. He saved us. All we have to do is ask him. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't expect us to do everything ourselves. If we have repented and we have been baptized, then we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us today? We have received power. This power means that we are no longer slaves to sin. We have been freed from the power of sin and death, and now we have the power to obey God. Instead of being slaves to sin, we are now God's children with an inheritance. We have a secure future. We have a new home that one day we will visit, that we will spend eternity there. God is love, and he has sent his Spirit to us so that we can live in the love of Christ now. One day we will see him face to face, and we will be with him forever with our new bodies. But for now, it talks about everything is being in part. We're not yet fully there. We have to wait patiently. We wait with hope. I'm going to finish now with what Paul says at the end of chapter 8. He says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."